want to share with you today a subject that I felt very necessary, especially in time like this, where a lot of us are living in an uncertain period. There are a lot of challenges in terms of your own personal life. And also looking at a political situation, we often wonder, where are we and what position are we in? There are a lot of uncertainties. But I'm glad that in the midst of all that, even though some of the situation can be dangerous, yet I see God in the midst. I see God in the midst. You know, not long ago, when I was in Vietnam, someone told me and said, "Pastor Kelvin, if you're going to wait for the traffic to clear off, you can forget about it." He says, "Just cross. They will stop for you." Wow. So I did that. The traffic was very heavy. So I took all the courage and just walked in Vietnam. The motorbike will just stop there and it moves somewhere else. They don't even scold you. If it's in Australia, they'll probably beat you up. You know, I felt very unsafe when I stand in the middle of the road. You know, when you cross one side and you stand in the middle looking at the traffic again and then you try to cross to the other side, it's kind of a very dangerous zone to stand in the middle of the road. Likewise, the funny thing I realize about people is this. Many of you young people would love to be in front as far as the concert is concerned, isn't it? You love to see the star, the superstar there. You want to be in front of the concert. And sometimes there are people who love to be in the middle of attention. But when it comes to church, they're always at the back of the church, isn't it? People are very funny, right? And but I'm not talking about those of you who are at the back. I'm just saying that there is always this common practice. When it comes to church, people like to sit at the back. But when it comes to concert, they want to sit in front, right? But when you see a crossfire, nobody wants to be in the middle of the crossfire. Am I right? If there is a shootout, you don't want to stand in between the shooting as well. And because in the middle of the road or in the middle of a situation, it can be dangerous. The title of the message is this: God in the middle. No matter what position you are in, as far as when you are in the middle of the road, God has assured me that He too is in the middle of our darkest hour. I want to show you a few scriptures. And bear with me. There is a scripture in Mark chapter 6, verse 46 to 51. And the scripture says, after leaving them, Jesus, after leaving the disciples, He went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and He was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars, because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, He went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw Him walking on the lake, they thought He was a ghost. They cried out, because they all saw Him and were terrified. Immediately He spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then He climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. This is a very assuring passage. The disciples were in the middle of the lake, and the Lord saw them straining. Perhaps at the time, in other passages, we see that there is a storm that is coming against them as they were going to Bethsaida, as they were traveling towards the other side. The Lord, the Bible says, saw them straining the oar. They were using their efforts and strength to turn the oar in order to move forward to the other side. Brothers and sisters, we all know that when you and I are in the middle of the lake, I want you to know God actually saw your condition. You can be in the middle of a storm like the disciples had, And you could be straining, you could be working very hard to get things through. You could be trying your best to overcome some of the challenges in your process of doing a project or even your work or your assignment, whatever it may be. The challenge seems so real. But the Bible tells me, and this is very assuring, God actually saw your challenges. Saw your everyday challenges. And the Bible not only said that he saw, but he walked right through into it. And that's what the scripture say. Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. Brothers and sisters, when you have the Lord with you in your work, the storm is not a challenge anymore. My concern today is that every time when you are in the midst of that storm, you must understand God is with you. He is always there in your darkest hour. Some of us are standing in the midst of a lot of major issues. Should I go away? Should I stay on? And you're dealing with it every day. Some of you are dealing with issues in pertaining to your health. Sometimes in pertaining to your lost job, or sometimes pertaining to the crisis with your teenagers or with your children, your loved ones, your families around you. Challenges seems to be coming and engulfing you. Just like Daniel's three friends, they were facing a humongous challenge. When Nebuchadnezzar told them to bow before his big great idol, but they refused and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth person in the midst of the three. God is in the middle of your challenge. I do not know what your challenges are, but I have such an assuring comfort to know that my God is in the middle of our challenges. Look at another passage. Will you do that? In 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 10, following. These were the chiefs of David's mighty warriors. They, together with all Israel, gave his kingship strong support to extend it over the whole land as the Lord had promised. This is the list of David's mighty warriors. Now bear with me with all these funny names. Jashubim Hakmonai was chief of the officers. He raised a spear against 300 men whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ehohide, one of the three mighty warriors. He was with David at Pas Damim when the Philistines gathered there for battle at a place where there was a field full of barley. The troops fled from the Philistines, but they took their stand in the middle of the field. They defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Now I want you to take note of verse 14. Verse 14 says this, they took their stand in the middle of the field while the rest of the soldiers fled from the Philistines. These three great warriors took their position, took their stand in the middle of the field. I want you to realize in the middle of the field, God is going to join you when you face your situation. What I gather from all these two passages is that the middle points of our lives are often the points where you have to make a tough choice. You all right? You have to make a tough choice. When choices are made with no elements of God consciousness, I'm afraid that we find ourselves constantly struggling foolishly. At the end of the day, we face the consequence of wrong choices. There were decisions that I and my wife had to make from the day we met each other. We have to make a choice. The choice is whether she wants to marry me And whether she will be thinking whether this guy is the man that I want to marry with. We have to make the choice. I know some of you are already thinking about your future, your imaginative girlfriend, your imaginative boyfriend. You can forget about imagining, all right? But what I'm saying is there will always come a time right at the beginning there will be a choice that we need to make. Choice to choose our girlfriend or boyfriend. Choice to be right with our career. If I know this is my career, then what should I do about my career? There are decisions, there are choices that I need to make. Some of us, we need to make in regards to the future of our family, like what my wife and I would do. We talk about ourselves, we talk about career, we talk about a future in regards to the family. Where should we bring the children to for their further studies and so forth and so forth? And we often think about it. We often talk about it. We often want to see where God is leading us. So there are tough choices we have to make. And then when we begin to see them growing and flourishing, what we rejoice over it is not only they succeed, but we were rejoicing that God did not make any mistake by teaching and guiding us to do and make the right choice. He helps us to make those choices. Please understand, having a family, having children, is not just about having them in the house. We will think about what we should go about in their lives. We face tough choices every day. What about you today? What are the choices that you made? Some of your choices may seem very minor. Some of them may seem insignificant. But I want you to know the previous messages that I preached about tracking your small wins. Even those little insignificant, it appears that way, but they are important because they are platforms to help you and guide you to another steps, another phase of life. So please understand, of course, the more children you have, the more responsibilities, isn't it? The more you have to think about what to do for their lives. Now, for us in Malaysia, having three kids is considered just average. All right, if you have four, wow. You know, you have so many. You have five, whew. You have six, that's it, lose your hair. You know, anything more than that, you lose your hair. That's what happened to Leonard. But if you have one, two, yeah, you can still enjoy your life. Just only one kid, think about them, you know. But at the end of the day, there is still the responsibility to make decision, even if there is one. We have to face tough choices. And I realize this entire subject of choice derives right at the beginning of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. It says here, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Now, why did God put a tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden? But don't forget, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, this is what happened. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What I'm seeing here from Genesis is that the two trees were in the middle of the garden. And why would God do that? We talk about being in the middle, and God is right there. Now, the trees are both strong representation of the power of choice. You have to make a choice, and that is the greatest gift that God has given to you and to me. Therefore, I want you to remember this. that God wants to be in the middle of our choices. God wants to be in the middle of our choices because a lot of us make wise and unwise choices. We face decisions every day. We face temptation. Don't deny that. And we face priorities. We all face that. You can't avoid these things. But every time when I face it, I realize I either make wise or unwise choices. And these are very important because God is saying to me that He is in the middle of our choices. Praise God. He is in the middle of our choices. I do not know what choices you make for your life. Some of the choices that you have already decided to do, would you be conscious with God in your heart that God is in the midst of those choices? Or are you making those choices simply because of your personal motivation, personal motives? But I pray today that every time when we decide something, it God in the middle of that choice. I'm afraid many of us are making bad and unwise choices because we don't place God in the midst of that. We did not. We make those choices because that's our feelings. Today, I feel I want to do this. I feel I want to say this. I feel I want to go there. That sort of thing, I feel. So it is very vital that you answer this question. Are your choices open for God to be in it? If God is not in it, listen very carefully, because it will determine between blessing and no blessing. You and I need to make those choices with God in the midst of it. Look at this Numbers chapter 2, verse 17. Besides God being in the middle of our choices, I want you to see this passage and realize another point. He says this, then the tent of meeting, which is the tabernacle. And he says, and the camp of the Levites, the priests who carried out their duties in the temple, will set out in the middle of the camps. They will set out in the same order as they encamp, each in their own place under their standard. Where did God put the tabernacle? Where did God put the Levites? Right in the middle of the camp. He didn't place in the north, the south, the east, and the west, but right in the middle. Let me tell you why. Because God wants to be in the middle of His people. God wants to be in the middle of His people. He wants to be there to save us when we are in danger. He wants to be there to protect us when we are in danger. When someone feels as though he has been abandoned and lost, God wants to be there to comfort. Because that is the only way God, who is right in the center of our life, has the ability to move in the hearts and the lives of His people. God wants to be in the middle of your life. Wherever you go, God wants to be there with you. Whatever you do, God wants to be there with you. He wants to be in all your activities. That's why He's in the middle of the camp. That's why we talk about the spirituality. It is so necessary, essential for our life. That's why God put the Levites right in the middle of the camp. He knows that your spiritual life is far more important than any other life. And that spiritual life will help to shape whatever other life that you talk about, such as your career, your ambition, your studies, and so forth. Your spiritual life is the most important thing. Be it about ambition, but also we talk about relationship, husband and wife. Paul said it so clearly. That every day husband and wife love each other, live with one another. It's just like Christ with his church. Love his church. And he's always in the midst of his people. Brothers and sisters, he is there. He is there in the middle of all that you are. Even if you're thinking about, how do I budget my expenses? How do I budget my savings? God wants to be active in that activity as well. He's in the middle of your life. Are you with me? Because oftentimes we think that, oh, all my savings, all my wealth, nothing to do with God. You are absolutely wrong. Everything, every single thing is all hinged towards your spiritual life. I'll tell you what happened in all the activities that we see in the world is because the spiritual life has been so bankrupt. That's why they are able to do all those nonsense. We need to know that all our activities are hinged towards the spiritual life. That's why God wants to be in the middle of the camp. If God is not in the middle of the camp, then you are running your own personal life without God. I want to say this, because God wants to be very active in your activity. Let me tell you this. God is a momentum maker. When he is in the middle, he is the one who creates the momentum within your life. And when the central is in on the move, then the rest of the circles around it will move. When the central part is not moving, the other part of the circle will never move at all. I hope that you could imagine that far. I remember someone sent me a little funny story about this man walking along the streets. As he was walking along the street, suddenly the voice came and told him, stop! And the moment he stopped, there was this huge brick fell right in front of him. And he said, who is this? The voice said, I am your guardian. But then he didn't even say thank you. And he went on. And as he was walking again, right to a place where he needed to cross the road, and as he was about to cross the road, he was just right at the corner. He did not look left or right. As he was about to take his step to cross the road, the voice came back again and said, stop! And he stopped. And all of a sudden, there was a car just swung right at the corner. And he was saved again. And he said, who is this? He says, I'm your God. Wow. But he never said thank you. And he went on. And as he crossed the road and walked along the pathway, that tall apartment building, there was a moment where he was walking, again the voice came and said, stop. And when he stopped, there was a flower pot that fell right in front of him. Whew. He said, who is this? He says, I'm your God. I am here to guide you. And he looked up and said, I have a question. Why didn't you stop me the day before my wedding day? And the voice of God said, I protected you from having your head crushed. But in the wedding, it was meant to shape you. And I believe many of you who are in marriage, I believe you are coming with all kinds of shapes right now. Amen. God is in the middle of his people. Somebody say amen. Amen. And not only that, I want you to see this. There's something very interesting about Jesus being interested in his church. Let's look at Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 10 to 13. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstand, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. Revelation chapter 1 verse 12 tells me, he says, then I turned to see who was speaking to me. And I saw in the middle of the seven golden lampstand, there was this son of man. That means to say that the Son of Man, who is Jesus Christ, stands in the middle of the seven golden lampstand. Who are the seven golden lampstand? The Bible tells me they are the churches. So which means to say from the passage, Jesus is in the middle of his church. He has such great interest in his church. He is in the center of his church. If that is the case, then every description of Christ is the priority of the church. The church should not use the program as their priority, but they must always have Jesus Christ as their priority in the church. Let Christ reign. Let Christ be the one we worship. Let Christ be the one that we sing our praises to. Let Christ be the one that stands in the midst and in the middle of his church. I pray that as you and I could go back and think through who Jesus is, Jesus said these words. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, my priority as a church is to live with that description of who Jesus is. The church must always have the priority to show the way. The church must have the priority to live in the truth. The church must have the priority to appreciate and grow in the life of Christ. Jesus is in the middle of his church. And if you and I could see this passage, I pray that the preaching of God's word will always lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I pray every teaching of God's word will lift up his name. If people were to come and say, I don't want to hear about the name of Jesus, then you are in the wrong place, because when you come to the church like this, we are going to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And that's what you and I are going to do. If you are going to sing so that, you know, it's all about voices, then I think we better join the voice competition. But if you are singing in the church, then it has to be about the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, talent is very easy to develop. All you need is training. Character is the hardest thing. Are you with me? My challenge to you is, why Jesus is in the middle of the church? So that you and I will grow like Jesus. Because he is the center of our church. In conclusion to the matter, God is already at where you are. Some of you are probably in the midst of nowhere. I don't know. I just live day by day. I don't know where I'm going. I got no direction at all. But I want you to know God is with you to help you, to guide you, even though you think you are in the midst of nowhere. Even though you are in the situation where you do not know where you are going from here. But I believe with all my heart that God is in the midst of that situation. And also not forgetting why I'm so passionate about God giving me the assurance that He is always in the midst of what we do, as long we put Him in our choices, as long as He is in the midst of His people, as long as He's in the middle of His church. Because I saw right at the place called Calvary, where was Jesus' cross? Right in the middle of two thieves. His cross was not on the left, His cross was not on the right. His cross was right in the middle. I pray today that you will understand the power of what it means to be in the middle. If you are in the middle of something, don't forget, God is also there. Amen. He's in the middle of your project. He's in the middle of your assignment. He's in the middle of your studies. But the question is whether we are conscious enough to know that God is in the midst of what we are doing. And ultimately, Jesus wants to be the center of your life. Amen? He wants to be in the center of your life. And when He is in the center of your life, I can be rest assured your entire life is guided and guarded. Let us be conscious about that. The word in the middle can be a crisis, can be a stormy weather, it can be a lot of uncertainties, but even though you are in the midst of that, my God is also there. And I'm very glad that He saw us, He saw our condition, the condition of our activities, the condition of our hearts. Some of us, when we face some problem, we get very frightened. He also saw that condition. He also saw the condition of the lack of faith. Faith where it is supposed to be there, but you find yourself struggling. Should I not? I don't really know whether God wants me. Hey, remember, He wants to be in the midst of your choice. If you are making the choice, and when He is in the midst, He will tell you, son, daughter, that's the bad choice. And so what do you do when you hear the word bad choice? You have a choice to make now, to stop making the bad choice or to disobey Him and do your own choice. God will reveal. And when He is in the midst of the choice where you are doing good, He says, that's good, that's a good choice. You know, son and daughter, I will be with you and I will show you all the way. That's what God will do. Amen? Passages that I've showed you tells me clearly that He is always there with His people. That's why the promise says, I will not abandon my people. I saw that revelation. I'm going to walk that way. And I need you right now to guide me, to make right choices, to make wise choices. And whatever activities I do, wherever I go, Lord, You are with me. You are with me.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.